Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone who is joining us today for a conversation about expanding inclusion at CCL. My name is Karina Ramirez. My pronouns are she, her, ella, and I am CCL Diversity and Inclusion Director. I wanted to take this opportunity before we start to highlight some of the observances this month. We do this when we have a race and culture conversation and through most of our inclusion workshops. It's Native American Heritage Month, as well as National Veterans and Military Families Month. And today, one of our volunteers from the Differently Abled Action Team reminded us that it's World Kindness Day. So I wanted to take a brief moment to just introduce our panelists today. Daniela Paniagua Ruiz is a first-generation second-year undergraduate student at the University of California, Riverside. She was part of the summer program for the first time, the Climate and Equity Internship she participated in with the North Lake Tahoe chapter of CCL. Brady Ferguson has been part of CCL since 2015. His activities include co-leading the Peace Corps Action Team and the territory's lobbying team, as well as being a member of the Asian Pacific Action Team and a congressional liaison. And Rudine Rush Steele has been a volunteer with CCL for 2 years. Rudine is currently the State of Georgia liaison for Senator Raphael Warnock, as well as a volunteer with the Democratic National Committee. Let me stop sharing for a moment. And let us have a discussion about CCL. So I wanted to, at this time, let me make sure that I can see everyone. And I do not see Brady. There he is.
I'm here.
Okay. There's, hello everybody. Okay. So in this discussion today, I wanted to give each one of you an opportunity to talk a little bit further about why you joined CCL and what is it about the work that keeps you involved. So let me start with Daniela. Daniela, if you would please offer a couple of words, I would appreciate it.
Great. Hi, my name is Daniela. I joined CCL this summer through the Climate and Equity Internship that the North Lake Tahoe chapter had. What drew me towards it was the fact that they wanted to include people of color within the organization, which you never really see, especially in my town. You don't really see a lot of Hispanics or anyone of color join anything to do with climate change. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to be able to not only teach myself new things about climate change, but also teach my community while I'm learning as well.
Thanks, Daniela. And Brady?
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for taking the time to choose our breakout session here. I really appreciated getting to be a member of CCL since 2015 when I first joined. And I actually got recruited for it in 2014. And this was at the time of the People's Climate March. Not sure how many people remember that or how many people were there. I see some head nods there. But this was a time in my life when I decided I wanted to get more involved with action on climate change. And I actually went to this march in New York City with my wife, and we pushed our one-year-old daughter through the streets of Manhattan during that march. And we're actually marching with the Pacific Climate Warriors and near the front of that march. And it was really a life-changing experience for me, I would say. But bringing it back to the local level, when we came back here to Rochester, New York, I had connected with a few people from Rochester who had also gone to the march. And one of them, Abby McHugh Griffa, who is actually my boss now at the Climate Solutions Accelerator, the organization I work for, she asked me if I was interested in an organization that is very action focused and actually doing work in between the marches and the rallies, which are important, which are great, but that work in between is very important as well. And I said, yeah, of course I'm interested. So that organization was CCL, and I ended up joining our chapter in Rochester in 2015. And I just want to add that's what's kept me involved over time and what's made me want to become more involved is I feel like CCL is an organization overall, but especially with our chapter in Rochester, New York, they have really, they push volunteers and encourage volunteers to get more involved and to grow and to take on more responsibility. And through that, we can have a bigger impact. So I was asked to become the liaison to our member of Congress in our Rochester area in 2016. I took that on. And then in 2018, I actually got involved with lobbying for the Pacific Territories, which are Guam, the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands, and American Samoa. And what happened with that is because my wife is from the Republic of Kiribati, located in the Pacific, and I myself lived there a couple years. We have lots of family and friends who live there. It's a part of the world that's very important to me and a big motivation for me as far as getting involved in climate action. And I thought, well, how can I get more involved with CCL's work and make a bigger impact? And I thought about these territories in the Pacific, not that far, relatively, to where I have lots of friends and family. So Amy Bennett from CCL connected me with a few other folks involved with that. Vicky Paul, and rest in peace, she's no longer with us, but Vicky Paul, who is in California, Noelle Morin, who's in Hawaii, and we started working on doing more to engage with the territories. And just that involvement has really kept me interested and made me glad to continue to be part of CCL over these years.
Thank you for sharing, Brady. And Nadine. You're muted, Nadine.
Sorry. My name is Nadine. I've been a part of CCL for 2 years. And I found out about CCL by going to a tabling event. It was a science fair in one of the parks in Metro Atlanta. And it was, I don't know if you've heard of the STEM projects. I just went with my friend, and that's how I found out about CCL. I became interested in CCL because I am very, very concerned about environmental injustice throughout the world, especially in the state of Georgia. So I am the liaison for one of our senators, our new gentleman senator, Senator Warner, and I'm very, very, he is focused on that. Plus he's from South Georgia where we have the coastal wetlands. And so I'm very, very concerned about that.
Thanks for sharing, Nadine. I can continue on by saying CCL has been working on diversity and inclusion efforts since before I got here. I joined CCL in 2017. It just so happens that a lot of same-minded people join at the same time. And there were discussions about how do we help diversify and increase the participation of BIPOC volunteers. I was one of many people that had been doing this work to try to have discussions in our communities and to bring those to CCL, and we're talking about everything at this point. So my next question to the panelists is this. What is something that you wish CCL would do, if you so feel, that would make the organization more inclusive? I have received many questions about this throughout the last couple of years, but I figured if you were the person that were, you know, talking directly to people who've made some decisions, what would you recommend? And you can start, anyone.
Well, what I would recommend is getting out more into the community, especially the diverse communities, so you can see exactly in person, exactly how this affects the communities of color. That would be my recommendation, CCL. That way you'll be able to recruit more volunteers without getting there and seeing how it affects hands-on. You would not be able to, it's hard to recruit people.
Daniela O'Brady?
I would say something similar to Rudine. I remember this was one of the things that we did go over in our internship this summer, was how do we include people more. And I've learned as a Hispanic woman that my parents learn from me, and normally that's how it is for many Hispanic households, is that children teach their parents more than what parents can teach their children. So I guess just including youth more and be able to reach out to them, and from there reach out further on to their families and friends.
Great. Thanks, Daniela.
I would agree with what both Rudine and Daniela said. That's important. I think a lot of the work should start with the local chapters, but CCL as a whole can continue to encourage the local chapters to be more inclusive and work on improving as far as diversity. I also would say that I think the action teams are important and a good avenue for improving diversity and inclusion at CCL. And it's been great to see, especially I feel like within the last year or so, a lot of new action teams have been popping up, and that's given people the opportunity to connect with people in different affinity groups and connect with people across the country, even across the world. But I think that there's a lot of potential there with new action teams or with ones that have just gotten started recently for improving diversity and inclusion at CCL. And I would also add that I think, well, I'm looking ahead and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm hopeful that at some point we will have some type of carbon fee and dividend on the national level. And I look forward to seeing what CCL is going to do after that, because as someone, I think Danny Richter mentioned it earlier today, but CCL, our mission is not to pass carbon fee and dividend, but our mission is to build political will for a livable world, something like that. Sorry if I got that wrong, but there's so much more to be done about climate change than just carbon fee and dividend. And carbon fee and dividend is great. That's important. I think, I mean, we're all here, so we want to get that passed. But once we get there, I'm curious to see what CCL does next. I think that's a great opportunity for us to be more inclusive and consider issues that will bring in more people. What comes to mind, especially for me, is on the adaptation side, because I think adapting to the impacts of climate change is just as important as figuring out how to mitigate our greenhouse gas emissions. And I mentioned earlier my friends and family in Kiribati, but I'm sorry to say that passing carbon fee and dividend will probably do little to nothing for them because of the amount of greenhouse gases we've already emitted. It's likely that their islands are going to become unlivable in the future, even if we pass carbon fee and dividend today. So although I'm still very supportive of getting this done, I think there's still a lot more that we have to do and think about migration due to climate change and people being displaced from their homes around the world, but also right here in our country. And Rudine mentioned the you know, communities that we really have to do a better job of connecting with, but we need to be thinking about the more vulnerable communities, more vulnerable people in right here in our country. And I'm hopeful that when CCL is able to shift our focus, and I know focus is an important CCL value, and I understand that, but when we're able to shift our focus, I think that's a real opportunity for us to bring in more people. So that's what I'll say about that one.
Thanks for sharing, everybody. It's interesting that you brought that up, because we have been having discussions among different folks talking about, you know, what kind of solutions, we're dreaming big, right? What kind of solutions can we add after carbon fee and dividend? And we've been getting a lot of responses. The inclusion team have been having meetings about that. For people that don't know, I run a national inclusion team, both at the staff level and with volunteers and community ambassadors. And we talk about everything related to CCL, how we're doing, how are we recruiting, what is happening with different volunteers. So now I'm gonna shift the conversation a little to something that continues to happen from time to time. But I figured I can address this, because we're all here to talk about, you know, how we can make CCL more inclusive. But tokenism has come up in a couple of conversations that I've had with volunteers. We have, you know, the organization continues to grow. So I want to ask each one of you, have any of you experienced any form of tokenism in the organization, and what has that been like for you? I see the faces.
encountered Tobism in, you know, within Metro or my chapter. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But I have not. So everything is good. It's just a matter, like I said, getting into communities, you know, and talking about, you know, getting people to understand, then you would avoid a lot of pushback. So that's what I'm, you know, dealing with right now, is just hitting the communities, the colleges, which I think is the first part, hitting the colleges, you know, start from that level, then go down, you know, but I have not, you know, encountered that at all.
Thanks for sharing, Eugene. Before everybody continues, just to give you a brief explanation of tokenism if you haven't heard it before. Sort of just, you know, if you sort of single out your BIPOC volunteer, if they happen to be the only person in your chapter, and they constantly get invited to be the voice of the BIPOC community. And sometimes that, in which some people, can be a little bit discouraging, right? Because you come to CCL to want to participate with everybody else, but then you get signaled out because you're the only person of color in that chapter. Again, let's continue with this. So Daniela, Brady, have you experienced any essence of that, and what has that been like for you?
I haven't myself experienced it in my chapter, which I find it really great that I haven't experienced it. But I've sensed the inclusivity that there is, and it's not just because I'm BIPOC that I'm being included, it's because my voice actually wants to be heard, if that makes sense. But for me, I haven't experienced it in my chapter.
I would also say that I have never felt tokenized through my participation in CCL. On the other hand, I've really felt that I've been welcomed and empowered and pushed to take on leadership roles, not just for someone to be able to check a box, but because people genuinely wanted me to, both in our local chapter here in Rochester and also on the national level. So I feel very fortunate about that. And by the way, I'll just mention, I do identify as mixed race. My mother's family is Okinawan and Japanese. My father's family is German and Scottish. And like I said, my wife is from Kiribati, so my kids are just a mixture of all that stuff. But I wanted to mention something else that connects with this. In other events I've been to, not CCL related, but I think I'm thinking of an event I went to earlier this year. It was a Stop AAPI, which stands for Asian American and Pacific Islander. Stop AAPI Hate, and it was an online webinar about it. And I was watching it and looking at the panelists they had and listening to what they discussed. And it was all Asian Americans and only talking about Asian Americans and Asian American issues. And I said, well, if you're including PI in the title, how about you include some Pacific Islanders in there or talk about something relevant to them? So this event, I felt like they're just throwing in those two letters in the name to make the event feel more inclusive, but it really wasn't. So I'm glad that's something that I've not seen in CCL. And actually, on the other hand, I feel like our Asian Pacific Action Team, which I'm a member of, and sorry to say, I don't participate too actively, but I'm glad to be a member of it. And I feel like they've done a better job with this. For example, we worked together on doing a film screening earlier this year. The Asian Pacific Action Team and our Peace Corps Action Team, we collaborated on doing a film screening and panel discussion of Anote's Ark, which is a film about climate change and how it's impacting Kiribati. And also just a week ago, we did a screening of One Word, a film about the Marshall Islands, another Pacific nation, and the Asian Pacific Action Team also helped with promoting that. So I appreciate they are not just covering the Asian part, but including the Pacific part as well.
Thank you for sharing, everybody. For the last question, and this was something that I did not include in the series of questions that I sent to everybody at the beginning, let's talk a bit about, like, what would be one thing that you think people sometimes don't think about our community? And let me give you an example. So oftentimes when people see me, they're like, you're from Mexico. I have gotten up many times. Culturally, I'm from Ecuador. I present myself as an Ecuadorian. I come across other types of Latinos, but sometimes I'm in rooms and people just assume I'm from Mexico, and I'm, you know, and I try to be on my best behavior, and I'm like, okay, well, thank you for saying that, but I'm not really from there, blah, 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 blah. So my question to you is, how would you wish people would, if you've experienced that in any form, have a conversation with you without immediately thinking about the way that you look? How would you like to be perceived in the future?
That's a tough one, Karina. Oh, sorry, Daniela, you want to go first?
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say that's a tough one. When you say that, that what comes to mind is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech about dreaming of a future where people will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, which I think is a great dream. And that's my dream as well. I think we have a ways to go to get there. And also, I think we shouldn't just ignore the color of someone's skin, but we should not judge them by it. So I guess for me, when I meet people, whether it's in the realm of climate change or whatever else, I would like them to look at me as an individual and not start putting me in boxes or categories with different groups, but just listen to me, get to know me as an individual first, because I don't think I really fit into categories or especially stereotypes that people have in their mind.
Daniela?
I completely agree with Brady. I don't want people not to see the color of my skin, but I don't want to be judged of it. I know in the past, like in school, I have been, just because I'm Mexican, I'm not smart is what people would perceive, but that's not always the case. I think of myself pretty intelligent. I got myself into college, so that's one thing I'm very proud of myself for doing, but it wasn't because of the color of my skin, but it was the quality of person I am and the work that I put in. So that's what I would love to be perceived as, by my character, not my facade or my color of my skin.
Thank you.
Well, I would say, you know, with the color of my skin, they put us in a category of everybody is low income. Everybody is dependent on the government, which is not true. You know, they just put us in a category, and I know a lot of that goes back maybe 200, 300 years. It's a mindset that you're just, if you're African American, you can only go but so high. And you're always dependent on the government. That's how they stereotype, you know, African Americans. But as far as I'm concerned, we're on the same level. Nobody, you know, makes no difference of what color you are. Everybody has that same opportunity to get there. We should not be discriminated against. You know, everybody is from every country. And as everybody knows, America, when you look at the Statue of Liberty, everybody, you're humble. Everybody is supposed to come into this country or be born in this country and love each other. So instead of stereotyping anybody, we're all able to go to college. We're all able to get those jobs, no matter if it's a woman or a man. It's, you know, so don't stereotype, you know. An example, in our community, stereotype is that everybody kills everybody. Men are always killing each other, women are always killing each other. Another stereotypic thing is, is that in our community, we're always killing each other, and we're acting like we don't want to better ourselves. That's not true. We can't put everybody, because you have a certain percentage that are going to do things, but it's because they have not been educated, you know, enough to know what to do right and wrong. So that's how we're stereotyping and stuff, which I think is wrong.
Thank you so much for sharing, everybody. We have close to 5 minutes left. I want to give an opportunity, anyone in the room, to ask a question if you should feel like it. Just an opportunity for one question because of the time. Okay. All right. So let me do this. I just want to thank the panelists for participating today.
Right. I think someone might be raising their hand.
Oh, someone raised their hand? I didn't see it. I don't see it. Okay, there it is. Okay, I see David.
Here's John.
And okay, so let's go John first and then David.
My 4 minutes. I'm wondering what the panelists would think about CCL advocating for voting rights legislation. Do you think that would be appropriate for CCL? And do you think that it would help our inclusion and diversity efforts?
Rudine, did you have an answer?
Go ahead, Brady. I'll let you go first. Well, I know CCL is more African, we're focused on the environment, environmental justice. And to bring the Voting Rights Act in, that's kind of more, how can I say it, more political, different level of political. So our purpose is to focus on environmental justice and the total environment, which affects everybody. So, in my opinion, that's a little too political, because then that'll intermingle us with, parties and all the other mess that's going on. So we just need to focus on the climate and the environment.
Brady.
Yeah, I agree with Rudine, and I think that with focus being one of those core CCL values and with how it's proven to be effective, I can't sit here and say, yes, you should no longer have that focus and just start branching out all kinds of different things. That being said, I myself am in favor of improving voting rights. And I think if any individual CCL chapter wanted to do that, I think that's a good idea, but I don't think we should dilute the focus nationally.
And I will say that I feel that almost all social issues intersect with climate. So I'm sure we're bound to, touch them at some point. We have 2 minutes left. David, if you can get your question for you.
I think I can, especially since I agree with what Rudine has said and what Brady has said, and what John has said, and I think they all fit together pretty well. In our local chapter in Philadelphia, which is where I'm from, we've talked about this very thing quite a bit, feeling the need to be able to identify with local environmental justice communities in Philadelphia on issues that they can directly relate to. At the same time, recognizing that CCL is a national organization, if it's going to keep uniting conservatives and liberals, can't get, as Rudine was putting it, too political, or that coalition falls apart. And we've had a lot of encouragement from the national leadership to go ahead as a local chapter and connect with other groups as we wish and support causes, anything to do from police violence to supporting efforts to shut down a trash incinerator in Chester and other things, and maybe get wind power manufacture going in a great big site in the south of Philadelphia. It has to be done carefully. And we've had an environmental justice discussion group in our local chapter, which has been very helpful to us. Was that 2 minutes? Probably over.
It is. We are down to 1 minute. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. Look forward to seeing you around the conference. Save the date. December 3rd is our race and culture conversation. We haven't had those in a while. Please look at the community calendar for that. And with that being said, thanks for joining us.
See y'all later. That was fantastic.
Yes, it was. Have fun.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.